So let's start with the important stuff, the stuff that's going to change the world. Would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Exene Cervenka.
You look like her. You sound like her. You're wearing a flowery dress. It's a beautiful. Never mind. People ask you a lot of the same questions. What is? I'm going to open this in a weird way before we get to the record. What's a question that you wish people actually would ask you? Have you ever thought, wouldn't it be great if somebody showed up for an interview and they asked me something completely different?
I guess the question I would most like to get isn't about my new record or about my career or about X. It would be, what are we going to do to save the world? What should we do? Let's put out a little message here. What message would you like to send people about saving this world of ours? That's the issue, not my record.
I was reading your tour diary, and the little nuggets I got were, you know, listening to Mexican radio by Wall of Voodoo, but all of that's kind of irrelevant because I'm thinking about Japan. Mm-hmm. You write, you do art, you make music. And you're in this, we're all in this world today trying to make a difference through the things that we do, right?
Right. Well, let's go back to the 60s for a second.
Sure.
We were talking about Whole Foods. If it wasn't for the people in the 60s, we'd be eating Wonder Bread. The punk rock generation, late 70s, our message was, oh, get away from the corporation as fast as you can. Reaganomics is coming. We're all going to be screwed. We need to be independent thinkers. We need to love each other, form communities, make our own music, make our own culture, make our, you know, go to thrift stores to buy clothes. And now, of course, the corporate situation is dire, where the corporations have taken over not just the United States, but the rest of the world as well. And, you know, that was the alarm that we were sounding. And so many people still are sounding, but we have got to get together as people and get over our differences and fix things, because NPR is going down today. Planned Parenthood is going to be privately funded. PBS is going to be gone, and all our services in every state, because all our states are broke, are going to be gone. So we're going to have to rely on each other. We're going to have to barter. We're going to have to help each other and get through this time and form some sort of revolutionary alliance of people that demand change.
But here we are at South by Southwest, where you walk down the streets and everybody's like, oh man, that's a punk band, right? But there's punk rock, which everybody's like, oh, well, X was the seminal punk rock band. X was not the seminal punk rock band. X had a punk ethic, and there's a difference, right?
I'm going to speak, because I was one of the people that started the punk movement in the United States, along with bands like the Big Boys from Austin and, you know, the Cramps and the Plugs and all those bands. Our goal was to change the way people thought. And that means not to tell them what to think, but to tell them that they should be able to think for themselves now. And unfortunately, the majority of people can't. So they've been brainwashed into consuming porn and video games and violence and movies and a war, and they're totally inured to their feeling. They don't even know what they're feeling anymore, and it's frustrating, because I feel like I spent 35 years of my life trying to stop what's going on, and I couldn't. And I think a lot of us feel the same. And I congratulate you on keeping on the air. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you. Is they said, well, you know, KUSF is gone, but this guy, Dennis, wants to. And I was like, well, let's go, because we have to help each other right now. And we have to get that message across. Punk rock was not about fighting, hating, mosh pits, fascism, redundancy. It was about love, free thinking, intelligence, and artistic freedom. Punk has been dormant since the early 80s. It went underground, it stayed underground. Now, fashion and the cartoon element kind of stayed alive, and a few bands like Rancid did okay, but it's going to come back out of necessity, because we are not going to be able to survive in this economy without each other. And music is going to unite us.
So it's 1977, it's Los Angeles. Was there already, I mean, there was not a punk movement back then. This was something that, and again, X was never really, I mean, I keep, everybody's like, the seminal punk band, but you, from moment one, you weaved in all of these, what we now call genres, you know?
But you have to understand, in 1976, when punk started, that's what punk was. Right. It wasn't fascism. It wasn't, You know, Black Flag and Circle Jerks were playing, but so were the Motels, so were the Plugs, so were the Alley Cats, so were the Weirdos, so were the Go-Go's, so was X. There were a dozen bands who all sounded completely different, who were very musical, very intelligent, and played really interesting things, integrated rockabilly and, you know, Mexican music and everything into their songs. And that is punk. And I'm not going to say we're not punk. We were certainly the seminal punk band. But then it became this kind of cartoon of what punk was. And that isn't what punk is.
You've played, what, 10 South by Southwest of the 25? I mean, a lot of them. And you're still, and again, it's not about being rock royalty or anything, but it's still for you. You still come and play because you want to get the message out, right?
I don't like to miss a good party, and I celebrate every single thing I can. Today is St. Patrick's Day. I don't drink, but I'm going to celebrate that. I'll celebrate the pagans in Ireland who got supplanted by the Christians and give them a shout out to the universe, St. Bridget and not St. Patrick. I don't like to miss South by Southwest because, first of all, it helps you out, like get your songs across, and people see you in ways that they would never otherwise. It's just a great thing. And it's all music lovers that come here at great expense and great difficulty from all over the world to see live music and to hang out in Austin, which is one of America's greatest cities. And I don't like to miss that party.
Do people show up and are they ready for anything? Or do you think that they're waiting to hear Los Angeles? They're waiting to hear.
Not anymore. They're not. I never have anyone call out X songs anymore. And I tour a lot. I've been doing shows with me and a guitar, acoustic guitar, all by myself. I'm touring the country with Kevin Seconds from 7 Seconds. The two of us, his guitar, my guitar, and a car. And that's what we're doing because you cannot afford to take a band on the road anymore. And you can't go from city to city with 5 mouths to feed because people can't pay more than $7 or $10. Oh yeah, they'll pay a couple $100 to see U2 or Bob Dylan, but 7 is the maximum or 10 that you can ask people to come see real kind of grassroots, folky, kind of traveling around the country, making ends meet kind of music. And it's very discouraging at times, but on the record, of course, it's a big full production with horns and strings and great musicians and all these great people on it and stuff. And it would be great if I could recreate that live, at least in a few cities. But right now, it's not in the cards.
But in this day and age, to be able to still make a record like that, to still have a label supporting you is pretty impressive.
Well, I have to say that my label, Bloodshot, is truly a great label, and I love them. I love everyone that works there. They work their asses off. They put everything they have into it. They bend over backwards to give me as much freedom as I have. And then they'll say, well, we don't like this part of this moment of your art or whatever, and it could be stronger. They're very honest. So you make it stronger, and they go, you know, that's better. And you go, thank you. Or we think the order on the record could be better. And I want that feedback from a record label because I respect them as people. I want their opinion just like I want the opinion of my friends. Play it for people. What do you think? But I had to put my money into that to make that record because you can't make a great-sounding record for no money. You have to spend money to make a great sounding record, unfortunately.
Okay, so I'm gonna kind of zig and zag here because that brings me to my whole favorite topic of the moment, which is if you have GarageBand, mm-hmm. you can make a record. And there are, you know, again, we're here at South by Southwest, and there's you could pick any number you want of types of bands here. There are bands here that are exactly that. They're a buzz band and they've made a little thing on their Macintosh. And actually, sometimes it really sounds good. But then, of course, there are big, huge, massive, you know, Queens of the Stone Age and all of that. But it is important to you, because of your ethic, to make a great-sounding record no matter what, right?
Well, you can make a great-sounding record and then go out on the road with a guitar and say, here I am as the singer-songwriter behind these songs and behind this production. Tell a few stories and let people in on some stuff that they don't get from hearing the record and have a whole different experience that's just as good. Then they can go home and listen to the record and go, wow, now I really understand where these songs are coming from. There's a lot of ways to be creative and giving to the audience of people who are loyal and caring and great, you know, music fans and fans of me. I don't know what people are expecting, but I can't try to second guess, you know, what 100 people are thinking. So I don't.
Alone in Arizona. You can see the movie. You can see the narrative behind that one, and that's pretty spectacular.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. You know, I I wrote all these songs between July of 2009 and February of 2010. Pretty intense time for me. I just moved back to California and I was writing a lot. And all these love songs that I put on the album are only a part of what I wrote during that time. I wrote like 30 songs, but I picked the 12 that I thought went together as love songs. Some are happy, some are sad. But, you know, I wanted to have like joyous moments, you know, and then deep, you know. I mean, those are the songs I wrote. So it wasn't like I tried to write a sad song. It's just what I wrote.
And then there's Love and Hate, which, you know, says a lot too, doesn't it?
Hate Street. When you can't, you know, on the corner of love and hate and you can't make a move. I don't know what I want to do, you know, in my life with my love.
The other thing that has come out of all of this is there's so many projects.
Well, when the Knitters started in the early 80s, it was Dave and John and me, Dave Elvin and John Doe and me. And then we added Johnny Ray and DJ and became like more of a band. But we started doing that in the early 80s when Frank, the folk singer, P-H-R-A-N-C, started doing acoustic shows at the Whiskey with people like Tito and the Circle Jerks playing acoustic. Now imagine the Circle Jerks playing acoustic at the Whiskey in 1980. That is really brave, really smart, and very cool. It was before alt country or the concept of alt country. And these people, we all started playing the music we loved, which was the American roots music. You had the Blasters already and all that. And, you know, we went for it because we loved that music. And then it eventually kind of found a place that got made for it later, which was alt country. And then, you know, it started, helped start a trajectory of music that ended up with bands like the Old 97s and a million other great bands. And American music, you know, that's, you express it. You know, we were a rockabilly band kind of X, you know. Think about bluegrass music, what is it, three chords fast, telling a topical story, political usually. Drowned my girlfriend in the river, now I'm going to prison. What about punk? Three chords fast, tell a topical story, I drowned my girlfriend, I'm going to prison. There you go. Punk was not violent when it started. It did not have mosh pits when it started. The reason people got up on stage and went back in the audience and the bands jumped in the audience was to blur the lines between audience and performer so there weren't stars. We didn't want superstars anymore. We wanted to blur that line and make everybody equal. It became this all-male, dominating, violent mosh pit at some point and became very anti-woman punk rock. And I don't like that, and I don't think it's a good force in the world. I think everyone needs to like figure out what their role is, what the piece of the world they want to save is. Now, is that Planned Parenthood? Is that their next door neighbor? Is that the whales? Is that the environment? Is that, you know, healthcare, women's rights? What is it? Do it.
When you do look at some of the younger female rock icons today, do you think that some of them get that?
Who are they? Who are you naming? I mean, name some names.
Oh, the Keishas and the Lady Gagas, you know, who claim that their agenda really is to make it better for young girls, to give them a, you know, an ability to be radical, an ability to change the world, all that. Do you really think that's actually coming through? Or do you think that they're all just watching the videos and saying, ooh, I want those hot pants?
Well, it kind of started with Madonna, and it was a message that was being sent to women that if you use sex, you can get famous and rich. Now, most women who use sex don't get famous and rich. They get pregnant and sexually transmitted diseases. So that didn't really help us. I think it set us back, and I'm going to say that. Lady Gaga made a very strong statement about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, took military personnel with her to the Grammys. I applaud her for that. I think that was fantastic. One of the best things that a rock or music icon that's mega star has done in a long time. I think she's really awesome for doing that. I don't know about her music or her fashion. I try to avoid all that. I like Pink and I like Christina Aguilera. And I'm hoping that those women, when the push comes and dire straits, when abortion's illegal, when there's no Planned Parenthood, when you can't get birth control or prenatal care, when you can't get a mammogram or a pap smear if you don't have insurance, and we don't have insurance, none of us, that they'll help. And that they'll rise to the occasion. They've made more money than they'll ever spend. And please help us, because we need help down here. We're all struggling, and I can't do it. I don't got no money. And I have not a big enough audience to really affect change like that. But I do affect change person to person with women who come to the shows, and I see them in the crowd, and I know what they're thinking to some extent. And I go over and talk to them, and I say, what's your name? What do you do? And they're like, wow, you're Exene and I'm a big fan and all that. And I say, well, that's great. Well, who are you? And what are you doing? And I want to know about them. And oftentimes they tell me what they're doing and it's fantastic.
I do a thing called a musical sandwich. And it's two of your songs is the bread. And then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.